Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Thursday, June 25th, 2026. In the news tonight, Idaho unveils new scenic state park about 20 miles west of Salmon. More info on the U.S. Forest Service's planned massive logging project across six forests in Idaho and Montana with extremely small public comment period, and victim of Spokane's upriver wildfire identified. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The Idaho Republican Party has re-elected far-right former state representative Dorothy Moon as its party chair for another two-year term. Senator Stephen Thane of Emmett and former Republican Vice Chair Mark Fuller challenged Moon at this past weekend's Republican State Convention in Meridian. Moon won with 306 delegate votes, Thane had 155 votes, and Fuller had 134 votes. Moon had 51% of the vote. If she had received less than 50%, she would have faced a runoff election with the second-place finisher. In a press release prior to the vote, Thane implied Moon was trying to enforce unity of opinion on the party. Thane wrote, "Unity does not mean uniformity of opinion, nor does it mean forced agreement. Forced unity always leads to tyranny. Real unity is voluntary. It is built through listening, respect, and a sincere effort to solve problems together." Since her first election as party chair in 2022, Moon has presided over a swing to the far right, including closing primaries to non-Republicans and trying to enforce loyalty to the party platform by making Republican legislators subject to sanctions for not voting with the platform. Moon campaigned this year on improved voter turnout and the defeat of the ranked choice voter initiative at the polls in 2024, which would have broken the far right's stranglehold on the Republican Party by ending closed primaries. After her re-election this past week, Moon wrote in a press release, "Together, we have worked to keep Idaho the conservative leader of the nation, defend election integrity, support our county parties and grassroots volunteers, and elect Republicans who stand firmly for the values of faith, family, freedom, and limited government." Moon's husband, Dar, is a member of the National Council of the John Birch Society. Moon's first election as party chair in 2022 came with a dirty trick at the Republican convention held that year in Twin Falls. A homeless shelter director in Twin Falls wrote to the Idaho Capital Sun that year, "The person who dropped off false flyers advertising a Pizza for the Hungry event at a time and place for a Pizza and Patriots event hosted by incumbent Republican Party Chair Tom Luna was Republican Convention Delegate David Riley of Post Falls. Riley has frequently made white nationalist, anti-woman, homophobic, and anti-Semitic public statements and has in the past been involved with other questionable political tactics, such as an underhanded attempt to get right-wing Republicans to sign up as Democratic precinct committee person candidates in Kootenai County in order to take over the local Democratic Party and spend their money on right-wing causes." Valley House Homeless Shelter Executive Director John Spire said during the convention in Twin Falls in 2022, Riley dropped off flyers advertising Pizza for the Hungry at Valley House Homeless Shelter and for public clients to see. Riley was targeting former Superintendent of Public Instruction Tom Luna's Pizza and Patriots event for Republican Convention delegates. Luna was running for re-election as Idaho Republican Party chair against staunch election denier Representative Dorothy Moon, who introduced numerous voter suppression bills in the Idaho legislature in previous years. Although none of Moon's bills passed in 2022, and she lost a close race for the Republican nomination for Secretary of State in the 2022 primary. Republican convention delegates elected Moon as party chair by a large margin. Republican campaign staffer Tyler Hurst, who organized the Pizza and Patriots event in support of Luna's reelection, told the Idaho Capital Sun homeless people and family members began showing up at the hotel during the event, asking about a place to get free pizza. Hurst said Luna and event organizers fed them and called the event a town hall. Luna issued a statement the next day calling distributing the false flyers a shameful act. Hurst called the flyers a politically motivated action to disrupt Luna's event. Addressing delegates the next day before her election as chair of the party, Moon called the false flyer event a dirty trick and said she had nothing to do with it. Riley had tweeted his support for Moon's candidacy as state party chair. Riley previously hosted a radio show in Pennsylvania calling himself a Christian nationalist. The Idaho Capital Sun reported Riley resigned from the show because of his publicly known involvement in the deadly Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, Virginia in 2017. Riley moved to Post Falls in 2020, and the far-right Kootenai County Republican Party Central Committee endorsed him in a race for the Post Falls School Board in 2021, which he lost. Longtime Panhandle Republicans Sandy Patano and Jack Riggs wrote in a guest column in the Coeur d'Alene Press that in early 2022, Riley worked with Kootenai County Republican Party Central Committee Youth Chair Dan Bell to take over the County Democratic Party by getting Republicans to switch party affiliation and run for Democratic Party precinct captains with the goal of taking over the local Democratic Party organization and its bank accounts. Riley ran as a write-in in the Democratic Party primary for governor in May 2022, getting a total of 21 votes statewide. After the primary, he switched his party affiliation to Republican, and the Kootenai County Republican Party Central Committee voted to send him to Twin Falls as a state convention delegate. The U.S. Forest Service's 8-page plan for emergency logging across 6 national forests released this week says up to 5 million acres could be logged this year in Idaho and Montana. The summary does not have a map or description of where the logging will take place and instead says the agency plans to remove pockets of fallen trees within millions of acres of the Nez Perce Clearwater, Idaho Panhandle, Lolo, Flathead, Bitterroot, and Kootenai National Forests. The Daily Montanan reports the Forest Service published the summary on their website Monday, and the announcement was not accompanied by a press release. It said a public comment deadline for next Monday, June 29th. The document said wind-felled and damaged trees of conifer species native to the northern Rockies are highly susceptible breeding material for associated native bark beetles, including pine engraver beetles, spruce beetle, Douglas fir beetle, and potentially fir engraver and several species of wood-boring insects. The recoverable value of downed and damaged trees decreases with time. The Forest Service says it wants to remove trees that have blocked roads and trails due to 2 straight-line windstorms that swept the region, one in December and one in March. The Forest Service said the downed trees will add 2 fuel loads to the fire-prone forests and that the commercial value of the downed trees will decrease quickly if they are not removed quickly. Friends of the Clearwater Executive Director Jeff Jewell said, according to the Lewiston Tribune, there is no emergency. That is a completely phony proposition. They are using that to bypass public participation. That raises a big red flag with conservationists, and it should with the public. Trees fall all the time. There is no danger out there, at least not one that doesn't exist every single day. You're listening to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman.
Love's Kombucha is proud to support KRFP Radio Free Moscow. Love's Kombucha is a fun, lively, fermented probiotic tea that is craft brewed right here in Moscow. For more information, visit loveskombucha.com.
Programming on KRFP is also sponsored by the Moscow Food Co-op, established in 1973. The Moscow Food Co-op is a cooperatively owned grocery store that serves as a community hub and champions healthy, local, inclusive, and sustainable food and goods.
You're tuned in to the KRFP Evening Report. Emergency officials say the upriver fire in Spokane, which killed one and burned 15 homes, was started in a vacant home, which was one of the homes that burned. Spokane County Emergency Management Deputy Director Chandra Fox told county commissioners this week there was a, quote, squatter or someone in that structure who should not have been there. Spokane County Fire District 9 wrote on its Facebook page, as the lead agency responsible for the fire investigation, Spokane County Fire District 9 and its Fire Investigation Task Force remain actively engaged at the fire scene and continue to examine all available evidence to determine the origin and cause of the fire. Once the investigation is complete and a determination has been made, Spokane County Fire District 9 will release those findings to the public. The blaze burned 213 acres and spread from Beacon Hill into the Northwood neighborhood last week. According to the spokesman review, the Spokane County Medical Examiner's Office identified human remains found in one of the destroyed homes as 83-year-old Marilyn Haugen. Family members told firefighters that a loved one refused to leave as the fire raced into the neighborhood and the home was burned down to the foundation. Firefighters conducted a welfare check and opened the door and called out for anyone inside to leave immediately, but the firefighters had to leave themselves as the fire raced towards them. Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife Director Kelly Sussewind approved the killing of up to two wolves in the Tucannon Pack. Sussewind said the wolves from the pack killed three calves owned by ranchers in southeastern Washington. The Fish and Wildlife Department is also blaming the Tucannon Wolf Pack for livestock injuries. According to the Fish and Wildlife Department's website, Sussewind said the wolf depredation events were on the ranches of three different livestock producers, which he said could have happened any time between March and May of this year. Sussewind also said the state's lethal actions will not threaten overall wolf recovery efforts in the state or in the Northwest. Fish and Wildlife reports the ranchers who lost livestock had employed the use of non-lethal wolf deterrent methods, including daily range riding, holding calves until they weigh at least 200 pounds, and removing sick or injured livestock. Fish and Wildlife Department officials say they assume depredations will most likely continue because of the wolves' close proximity to ranches. The Clearwater County Sheriff's Department has ended the search for a missing kayaker after 3 days. Search and rescue crews tried to find the kayaker near Peck Junction, west of Orofino. According to Spokane television station KREM, officials identified the missing kayaker as Samuel Mobley. Deputies began searching Wednesday and searched through Saturday before calling the search off. The search began when the office received a report of an overturned kayak that someone had found near the Peck Junction on Wednesday of last week. Deputies in patrol boats, divers, drones, and dogs were used in the 3-day search. The sheriff's office is asking anyone who may have information on the missing kayaker to call their number, which is 208-476-5421. That's 208-476-5421.
More than a dozen Montana groups will get money to help make communities more livable, especially for seniors. AARP is funding 14 projects in Montana through its Community Challenge Program. One of the winners is Front Step Community Land Trust in Missoula, which will use its $20,000 award to launch a design competition for affordable housing. The group's Kate Whittle says recent zoning law changes have made it easier to build affordable units in town, which can help older adults who may want to downsize.
We're asking designers to submit drawings that are creatively and attractively designed, affordable multifamily homes that meet accessibility needs, especially in light of the AARP mission to serve older folks who want to age in place.
This is the 10th anniversary of the program, and AARP is committing more than $8 million to 750 projects across the country. The organization says nearly half of the funds are going to rural communities. One of the rural grants will go to Hysham, a town of 294 people, an hour east of Billings on I-94. Nicole Stevenson is Treasure County's Disaster and Emergency Services Coordinator. She says the $15,000 award will help pay for a smoother walkway around the community park and ADA upgrades to the public bathrooms. She says it'll help seniors, who make up about half of the town's population, and tourists, who often stop to stretch their legs.
We're looking for other opportunities to be able to draw people in and keep that park alive for our locals and anyone outside of the Treasure County community.
AARP got more than 5,000 applications this year, a record high. AARP's livability director, Mike Watson, says this is a quick action program that directly impacts seniors and supports immediate needs.
Not multi-year kind of planning projects, but quick on the ground, visible demonstrations of livability that are going to help communities build momentum and jumpstart change.
Grant winners have until mid-December to complete their projects. I'm Laura Hatch, Big Sky Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
There will be a ribbon-cutting ceremony Saturday for a new state park in Idaho located about 20 miles east of Salmon. Twin Peaks Ranch State Park will cover 677 acres in a very scenic area. There will be campgrounds, trails, rental units, and access to public lands for visitors. The park is located close to the Salmon River and the Salmon Chalice National Forest. Idaho Parks and Recreation Department Communication Manager William Armbruster told the Idaho Capital Sun it's going to be a destination for people with all sorts of outdoor recreation backgrounds, from off-highway vehicle enthusiasts to hikers, disc golfers, fishermen, bicyclists, so on and so forth. It's really a one-stop shop and a gateway to an incredible opportunity for recreation in the Salmon Chalice area. Idaho Governor Brad Little signed an executive order this week giving state employees two more paid days off adjacent to the 4th of July three-day weekend. Friday, July 3rd was already set to be a paid holiday for state workers because it is also a federal holiday. Governor Little is giving state workers a paid day off Thursday, July 2nd and again Monday, July 6th this year. Little wrote in his executive order, "Idaho's public servants work hard every day on behalf of their fellow citizens, and this additional time off allows them to celebrate this historic milestone with family and friends, participate in community events, and reflect on the sacrifices of the generations who secured and preserved our liberty." Governor Little's executive order does not apply to state courts, which will be open July 2nd and July 6th. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather, it will be cloudy tonight with a low of 50 degrees. West winds 5 to 10, becoming southeast in the evening, gusts up to 20. 60% chance of showers tomorrow, mainly before noon, mostly cloudy, high 67. 40% chance of showers before midnight Friday night, mostly cloudy, low 46. Southwest winds 5 miles an hour with gusts up to 20. 20% chance of showers before noon Saturday, mostly cloudy, high 64. West winds 10, gusts up to 20. 20% chance of showers after midnight Saturday night, mostly cloudy, low 43. West winds 5 to 10, gusts up to 20. And a 50% chance of showers Sunday, mostly cloudy, high 61. Currently 75 degrees. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the coverage of local events and the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP. Be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. There's a drop-down box that says Support KRFP. You can underwrite programming, which is a cost-effective way of letting our listeners know your business or nonprofit supports community radio. You can adopt a DJ. There's a PayPal option. And there's a Patreon button as well. Once again, we'll gladly accept checks of any amount at KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. I'm Lee Robartis. Jim Roach assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a pleasant evening. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial and online.